Хатны тэнэ та та дибэрхтэн ла фабгэдний гаран цэтэнэ та дүвдэрчэ цамагдэнэ та тракариод на тэнэ нан гүний чэнэ га дэрэн тэнэ юмжэ дэ нэндэл дүвтэгэ юм бикэшэ тийм жагс мэтэнэ дэн гаран гэ нүбэ чэг дүв яг фоч амтрэсэм дүг нэвэ
юс basically now first he just explains that what term lojong is and then really what the actual practice of that is is shown, but now he says, well, let's discuss it. So, you know, if you ask questions, then I will actually answer them, you know, discuss, you know, basically mean that we discuss. Okay. So the first question was, how can we prepare our mind to do this wheel of weapon practice or any Lojong practice with meaning, not just reading it like a book? He said, this is what I think. Maji, generally speaking, the Lojong, Chuanxiang Kolo, this wheel of weapon, you know, this great Lojong. By the great master Dhammarakshita. The Sanskrit name is Dhammarakshita, and Tibetan name is Selingpa. So this is the extraordinary Dhamma, which means Dhamma is the hard advice of Dhammarakshita, this wheel of weapon. But what is the main point of this teaching? The essence of this, the wheel of the weapon, its primary concern or primary aim of this is lelen tamchi, meaning, if I explain a little bit, generally speaking, whenever something is good that happens, we always think it is because of ourselves. You know, but whenever something goes wrong, we blame others. Yeah. Here in this case, without at all blaming others at all, you see that you take responsibility for everything yourself, not putting any blame on anybody. Everything you just, you know, lenin tamchi rang, it's like you just own them, or you just take upon them yourself, not blaming others for anything that has gone wrong or anything that makes you unhappy, but rather take responsibility for them ourselves, fully own it fully ourselves, and really work with it to transform ourselves rather than blaming others. You know, just like basically it's a way how to, it's not to blame others at all, to take just really, really blame. I mean, that's quite incredible. Really, really. I mean, that's really quite incredible. That actually, if I go and explain that little bit, you know, it's really because Bodhisattva, in Tibetan, Chanchub Sempa means Pa is a warrior. Bodhisattva is a warrior. A warrior who does not fear responsibility, does not shirk. In fact, he has the courage to take, you know, responsibility. And the greatness of his lies in that, you know. And really, instead of blaming others, you know, like for example, it will come later, you know. Whatever happens to you, you don't blame others. The main point of the Lojong teachings is, you know, really, this is incredible, very inspiring and moving, is that to give the profit to others, take the loss upon yourself. Really. If you look into the Lojong teachings, you know, chapter 12 in the story of Geshe Chekawa, when he first saw this extraordinary two-line teaching, which said, give the prophet, take the blame upon yourself, you see. He was really astounded by that, amazed by this. And when he saw the master said, well, if you want to attain enlightenment, there's no other way. Have you got the Tibetan Book of Living Light? One of the great masters of Tonglen in Tibet.
One of the greatest masters of Tonglen in Tibet was Geshe Jigawa, who lived in the 12th century. He was extremely learned and accomplished in meditation. One day, when he happened to be in his teacher's room, he came across a book lying open. It said,
give all profit and gain to others. Take all loss and defeat on yourself. The vast and almost unimaginable compassion of these lines astounded him, and he set out to find the master who had written them. One day on his journey, One day on his journey, he met a leper who told him that this master had died. But Geshe Chekawa persevered, and his long efforts were rewarded when he found the dead master's principal disciple. Geshe Chekawa asked this disciple, just how important do you think the teachings contained in these two lines are? The disciple replied, whether you like it or not, you will have to practice this teaching if you truly wish to attain Buddhahood. This reply astonished Geshe Chekawa almost as much as his first reading of the two lines, and he stayed with this disciple for 12 years to study this teaching and to take to heart the practice of Tonglen, which is its practical application. During that time, Geshe Chekawa had to face many different kinds of ordeals, all sorts of difficulties, criticism, hardships, and abuse. And the teaching was so effective and his perseverance in its practice so intense that after 6 years, he had completely eradicated any self-grasping and self-cherishing. The practice of Tonglen had transformed him into a master of compassion.
So this is really quite amazing, really. A completely different way of thinking, you know, of samsara. Is you keep the profit to yourself, give as much loss. I mean, that's what is happening now with all the economic situation, you know. If people out of greed and just want to make profit just for themselves, without the thought of others, really. Out of greed, the greed. Really. Continue, please.
Then that dangbun, sun chang, korlo, we go back to me, that me, dear, sun chang, the other caradina, Dorna.
It's called the wheel of weapon. First, let me explain what is meant by the wheel of weapon. Just as if you are really in meeting in a combat with your enemy, if you want to defeat that, just using your fist alone is not going to be, you know, do much damage. And so therefore, more powerful weapon and sharp weapon you have, the greater the possibility of defeat and victory, you know. In the same manner. So that lojong is also like a weapon, very sharp weapon. If you have that in our hand, that lojong, that very powerful weapon of lojong, if you have in our hand, and then we can defeat the enemy. But what is this enemy? Really, the dancing gombo, this demonic force, this demon, or this devil, the demon, is no other than the self-grasping or the ego-grasping, you know? This really selfish, you know, this that's the really the demon. So that this Danzin Ngombo, this demonic force, really is the one that from the beginningless time up until now has put you into the turbulence of suffering of samsara, you know? It's this self-grasping, self-cherishing. So today, then you just say, you know, say that I'm going to wage this war against this demonic force of one's own ego grasping with the great weapon of Lojong. And then in our hands, we hold the wheel of sharp weapon of Lojong. Then with that, we can just defeat the enemy, you know, enemy, the ego. So that's why it's called weapon. Now, what is the wheel? Meaning of... Now, this is the wheel. Wheel has, like, particularly in ancient times, the wheel, like Indra, or I don't know, some of the gods use this particular, like, a wheel, this weapon, you know. It's a bit like sometimes in karate movies, you know, like, you know, these wheels. It goes always forward, never comes back, you know, always goes forward. That means with the wheel of weapon of this Lojong, it destroys your enemy, the demonic force of ego, and never bring you back to samsara, but take you further and further into enlightenment. Never brings you back into samsara, but takes you further and further across the ocean of samsara into the shore of liberation of nirvana. There's a significance of that, you know.
That the Hindu... Nepar the Tanita of Dancing Gumbo, Tam Yam the Tatering Zingri, Yawong to the lap. Then if Dancing Durton came to so good, Takarichi Guri then.
Since we are engaged in this war, the battle with ego, that we must really be able to defeat us fully.
Narans, do you imagine? Ah, Takarina, do I can get in Nagi? Yawat and do what somebody, Narangi. Mandriwa the chick tendin, did some miggery, say, Naran so the gong sing it on it.
That's it.
They were.
Now, generally, by habit, you see, that we always, you see, assume, we always think this is just like a kind of samsaric habit that we ingrain in us. That whenever something good happens, we always think this is because of our own doing, you know, our own kind of cleverness or our own kind of, you know, strength, our own, you know. Wherever anything goes wrong, you think it's the fault of others. So always, that's because always komshi. This becomes something like a habit. We always think that way. That because this komshi, this habit is rooted where? In the self-grasping, self-cherishing. It's like almost like, you know, when you say self-cherishing, have self-honoring, but not honoring in a good way, honoring yourself, but always you see like almost self-exaggeration, you know. Always you think, you know, you think yourself as, I mean, you not think yourself as good. I don't mean think yourself as good in a good way. You know, if you think yourself good in a good way, that'd be good. But, you know, in a sense, you think of yourself in a wrongly good way kind of thing. You know, if you always think that whatever good things happen to you is because of your doing, and whatever negative things happening is the fault of others, you know.
That's right.
Because of this kind of way of when we act in kind of accordance with that, then of course it's very difficult for us to really establish good relationship with others. And then also that, you know, a lot of people as a result of that dislike you.
Also,
and then also one connection with others becomes, you know, very difficult to establish a good relation with others then. So therefore you see, as a result of that, you know, the people also begin to dislike you. And then you're never able to be, you know, mature. I mean, you never kind of be, how do you say, the relation will never be harmonious, you know? Never be harmonious, agreeable, harmonious as a result of this. You
know?
Now, since we are really here to really subjugate, to overcome our demonic force of the self-grasping, since we want to really overcome, subjugate this. So what do we have to do? Even if there's a particular situation which you did not do anything wrong, you know, you did no harm or nothing wrong, if suppose you did not do any kind of ill will or wrong, but yet the other person does the worst things to you, the really, really terrible harm, you know, kind of does bad talk, actually, all kinds of harm does to you. When that kind of thing happens, you see, you say to yourself, on this occasion, yes, you can say, I'm not really at fault. I did not do any kind of harm or any intend any evil things or anything to them. But however, maybe in my past life, many lives that I've spent in my past life, that I may have harmed also and others. So as a result of that karma, to repay that karmic debt, this is happening to me. Even on this occasion, I'm not responsible at all, you know. Yet, actually, even though on this occasion, but then why is this happening to you? It's because maybe in the past life, in the many, many past lives that we spent, we may have harmed others in the same manner. So as a result of that negative karma, it's kind of, this is happening to you. It considers the repaying of your karmic debt, and consider that really. And that, as it said in the really the most important point of Lojong teachings, which says that give profit to others, take the loss upon yourself. You see, even though you may not be at fault on this occasion, however, you just realize, you said to yourself, even though on this occasion I might not be particularly at fault, but because of, you see, many lifetimes that I've spent the samsara, in those lifetimes, I may have, you know, interacted with these people and may have caused them similar kind of harm. As a result, the karma of that is being born this way. So when this kind of happens, you willingly take upon this, you see, the whatever harm that they cause you, you willingly accept that as a part of your karma, of a part of your repaying your karma, really take yourself. And this is really the fundamental principle of this Lojong, is that give profit to others and take the loss upon yourself very much. That's really the main thing. Remember, we said that really, I was very moved by that, you know, so very. I think that's really when harm comes to us, if you can seriously take upon, say that, you know, even though one may not be at fault, but maybe in the past life we may have harmed them. Or harmed, not maybe not them, but others maybe. Not these people in the past, but others we may cause them. As a result, this is coming back to you. And really to consider, you take upon yourself as almost purifying your karma. To consider them as purifying your karma. Take them willingly. And in fact, you can go further and say that, you know, by them harming, may they get full satisfaction. May they be happy. By them harming, may it bring a lot of happiness to them. You understand it? They bring satisfaction. May they be very happy. Even if it's at your expenses, if you wish so much that they be happy with that, be really fully satisfied. And you pray that their mind too find appeasement and find, you know, slowly, slowly transform into bodhicitta, you know. We always say that in whomever bodhicitta note is made rise, you can say that their whole mind also be transformed. Like, for example, in the Rose Sanchi practice also, it says at the end, you know. It's very, very moving like that way. It says that, you know, may the wishes of six gods be satisfied, may the enmity of coming debtors be assured, may be completely commissioned, through the power of this vast act of generosity, may be spontaneously in Buddhahood for benefit. And all those who are not liberated by the Buddha's past through this act of generosity, may they be liberated. May all spirits gathered in this place, be it on earth or water or this thing, always show goodwill and kindness to all beings and practice Dharma day and night. It's so amazing that, you know, may all those people who harm you, may they through that they be getting full satisfaction. You repay your karmic debt, purify your karma, and may their mind find peace and satisfaction and find the peace of enlightenment, basically. Take the blame upon oneself and give profit to others. That's really the main truth to rely upon that. That maxim, you know, that maxim, that, you know, saying, that's really the basis. All this, take the blame upon yourself, you know. Of course, I think it's a very important thing is, you know, when you say to take the blame upon yourself, is how you do it, you know. You don't do it neurotically. Always say, oh, it's always is my fault, you know, it's my fault, it's my fault, and be very guilty and very bad. No. Because you have actually practiced compassion with wisdom, you realize the wisdom of egolessness, then it's slowly developing through the means of considering others equal to oneself and exchanging ourselves with others, considering others important. We slowly, as you develop compassion, I think it's very important. First, you develop loving kindness, really, the loving kindness. I think it's very important learning how to love. When you say, do not cherish yourself, you should, instead of cherishing yourself, you should cherish others, doesn't mean not loving yourself, you know. I think this is something very important. Buddha said, if you look everywhere in the whole world, search for someone more worthy of your love than you, you won't find another. He who loves himself will not harm another. Really. If you really, when you're able to take on, actually, this is the great thing. If you really know how to love yourself, you know, he who loves himself, it's people who have lack of love, people who are hurt, people who suffered a trauma in their childhood and in all kinds of situations. You know, sometimes when you look at, for example, serial killers, for example, movies, serial killers, or you find that if you look psychologically, go back, what they're doing is it's because of the psychological damage that they had. The victims are not the ones that actually harm them. But because the psychological damage we have, you know that, the lack of love and so on, and then, you know, you cause harm to others. So this really is something very much in a neurotic way. Whenever we do not have love in ourselves, we do not know how to love ourselves, then you begin to harm others, you know, you begin to take revenge on others for what love you did not receive, and, you know, and sometimes it doesn't really matter who is. Whoever comes in your way, you know, that person becomes your target. You're caught up in the crossfire. And really, that's what happens very much, you know. So I think that's why I'm saying that when you are willing to take the blame upon yourself in a good way, not blame in a sense, you know, just really in a lojong way, saying, maybe this is because in the past that I may have done others, you know, I may have done same others. So they are, take upon yourself all this, so whatever, suppose even if somebody harms you, you say by that, you know, it's really, this is the way of the teaching, that you not respond back, you don't fight back, you don't respond to like accusations at all. you take everything upon yourself, you know, as though even you're not guilty or anything, you're not your fault, but yet this is in the spirit of Lojong, take the loss upon yourself and give the profit to others. Always. This is something I think sometimes maybe in the West people don't understand, but this is the way the many great masters, they always see, principle is that. Never, if they were anyway accused or anything, they will never ever respond back or, you know, justify themselves. There's a famous story of the Zen master. He says, is that so? Could you share that with, okay?
The Zen master Hakuin was praised by his neighbors as one who lived a pure life. Close to his house lived a beautiful Japanese girl whose parents owned a food store. Suddenly, without any warning, her parents discovered she was expecting a child. This made them extremely angry. She would not confess who the man was, but after much harassment, she at last named Hakuin. In great anger, the parents went to the master. They shouted and accused him. "Is that so?" was all he would say. After the child was born, it was brought to Hakuin. By this time, he had lost his reputation, which didn't trouble him, but he took very good care of the child. He obtained milk from his neighbors and everything else the little one needed. A year later, the girl could stand it no longer. She told her parents the truth. The real father of the child was a young man who worked in the fish market. The mother and the father of the girl at once went to Hakuin to ask his forgiveness, to apologize at length, and to get the child back again. Hakuin listened to them in silence. As he gave them back the child, all he would say was, "Is that so?"
It's really, this is the principle which you really take. I mean, it's very noble when you're able to do that. I think it's incredible because really, this is really taking on, when you're able to take on the blames of others and you know, give profit to others, take the loss upon yourself. Really, if you're able to do that, then you're defeating the ego. The self-grasping. Yeah. It is the best purification. You really, and this is the way of the compassion, bodhicitta. If you want to attain enlightenment, there's no other way. Give profit to others, take the loss upon yourself. Really. So seemingly it may look like, you know, practitioners are not really winners in the world. They are, you know, they take a lot of loss upon themselves. A lot of misfortunes may befall upon them. Actually, you know, real true spiritual practitioners will take this as a path. Whatever comes, they say, you know, maybe because of my past karma, they take really, they don't blame others that maybe because of my past, you know, it made me purify. And then not only that made purify all my past, but may purify the negative karma of others also. And even what is amazing is that even those people harm you, you pray that they may not be harmed, you know. As Jesus said, you know, so moving, I was very, very moved by that. He said, when he was crucified, he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Because when people harm you, they have no idea what they're doing. When they harm you, because they're harming themselves in such a way, you know. When they're harming, they think they're harming your enemy, but actually they're harming themselves. And so therefore you have compassion for them. That's why we have even compassion even we can have compassion for Mao Zedong. Mao Zedong. And others also. Tibetan great Tibetan masters have even compassion for them. Because we really consider that by doing that some, they won't get away. They go through the negative karma. Because, you see, the justice is, you know, whatever we do, we have to pay our own karma anyway, coming down. No one escapes karma. So, whatever, seemingly they may succeed, but, you know, so. So, very much, really, when you take the loss upon yourself and give the profit to others, it's really an incredible way, you know. It's an incredible way. That's the way. That's the way. If you work with yourself this way, then it's wonderful. You'll be so good in yourself. Fundamentally, you come to terms with yourself in such a good way. And you come to terms with others, you know. You become friends with others. You get along with others. And really, you get along with yourself, you know. It's wonderful, really. And you're sowing the seeds of enlightenment in you. I think it's very seriously, very, very important for us to really take this really on board and start really emulating the way of the great bodhisattvas, you know. Very much. So really, in small ways, giving profit to others. Not big, but take the loss upon self. Yeah, really. Sometimes if you really examine yourself, we always like cherishing ourselves, always cherishing ourselves, you know. And we don't cherish others, you know. Yeah. Even if you're giving something, others, you keep the good one, the best one for yourself. And then, the you know, then out of the...